I guess probably the main thing that we talked about is how that we went over the scriptures that it talks about in First John, how that this is the victory that overcometh the world. It says even our faith. We read the story a couple of times where Jesus told Peter the things that was going to, you know, before the cock crowed, he's going to deny me 3 times, and how that the devil had come to sift him like wheat, you know. And we saw in the scripture, what he came to do was separate him from his faith. His faith in God, the things of God, and all of that. So we're going to continue on with that this morning. I guess let's look at it. And these first ones that we're going to read here, we've read these quite a few times, but we're going to read them again. Let's look at Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put that up for us, please, Zach. So some of these have just been one verse. We'll let him do it for us and get his finger work out. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then we went through almost the whole chapter. We're talking about the armor, the pieces of armor, different things like that. But notice that word, it says, we don't just stand against the devil, we stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles, it means traps, tricks, snares, deception, deceitfulness, lies, anything like that, that's of him. We read in the scriptures also in Ephesians, I believe it was chapter 4, how we talk about give the devil no place, you know, through lying, and you talk about anger there a couple of times and all of that. We know those things are not of God, right?
Right.
We don't have to go back over all of that. So in things like that, we need to resist that. You know, I've heard even Christians say, you know, well, it's just a little white lie. No, it's not. They're all black.
Yeah.
There are no white ones. There are no white magic. It's all black magic. It's all black lies. It's all of darkness, right?
Yes.
Let's look at, let's see. I got so much on this paper here. Different colors. Let's look at James 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, we read over there the verse in Ephesians 6:11 there. It says, stand against the wiles of the devil. Here we read, he says, resist the devil. So we know in order to resist the devil, there's things we have to resist.
Right.
Right? There's tricks we have to resist. There's temptations we have to resist and not yield to. Why? Because all of that's of him. You know, when you think about resisting the devil, some people just think about, you know, this cartoon-like character with the horns and the red pitchfork and all that stuff. That's not the devil. The Bible talks about how Satan himself and his cohorts, they transform themselves as angels of the light. He never comes as the darkness. He comes disguising himself as God. That's a big one he likes to play.
Yep.
That the voice that I'm hearing is God. But it's not. Or he disguises himself as me, what I want, the things that I think.
Right.
You know, and so you have to catch yourself, you know, and think about, catch yourself what you're thinking sometimes. Why are you thinking what you're thinking? Why is this bothering you so bad? Because sometimes something bothers us, there's something there.
That's right.
There's some things we shouldn't get so upset about, right? But anyway, let's look at, obviously my paper up there. 1 Peter 5:6-9. So if we're going to resist the devil, we got to resist the temptation to get angry, right? He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is a big one for the church. A lot of Christians, they wouldn't do drugs, they wouldn't drink, they wouldn't smoke, wouldn't hang out with nobody that does, but they will worry all night long.
Right.
They will tell God, how rehearse to God how big their problem is all night long and pray in fear and in doubt, squalling, bawling, crying, begging. I mean, no, you're not praying.
That's right.
You know, the Bible talks about how we pray. We're supposed to pray in faith. We're supposed to get the word on the situation, right?
Right.
And he says there, he says, casting all your care upon him. I've even heard people say, you know, well, hey, God, if you'll just take care of this, I can handle this part. No, that's pride. He wants all of it.
All
He don't want us handling none of it. There's none of one of us in this room can do a better job on things than God can do, right? He says, so casting all your fear upon him, we're not going to meditate fear. That's worry. And we're not going to do it, right?
Right.
Because that will give him place. That's part of his wiles. That's part of his tricks. Listen, my kids, I say kids, I only got the one. My kid or my grandkids, my son, he has a life. It's his job to find out from God the direction of his family supposed to go in and how to take care of his family, right? God through him or whatever. That's not my job. That's not my job.
Right.
My job was to train him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and to teach him how to become a productive citizen and live in society, right? And take care of himself and his family, serving the Lord, yielding to the Lord, right? So guess what? I also have to let him make his own mistakes.
Oh, yes.
Does it bother me when he does? Sure it does. But listen, God doesn't run out there and stop me from making every little mistake. Now, he might try to warn me. He might try to tell me something. But how many knows? I have free will.
That's right.
I don't know what that's about, but anyway. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Go ahead. And resist steadfast, how? In the faith. If you can keep him in the arena of faith, what do I mean by that? That I take the word. It's in my heart. It's in my thoughts. It's meditated in my mind. And
yes,
it's coming out of my mouth. And I don't let him move me
right
off of that.
Right.
If I keep him over in that arena, and what he's going to do is start trying to inject thoughts into my mind, number one.
Right.
Y'all remember the story about the sower sows the word?
Yes.
And he talked about those on stony ground, you know, and all this other stuff, and the one, how the cares of this life come in and they choke out the word. I can't allow any of that stuff.
Right.
So what he starts trying to do immediately is come and steal the word out of my heart. Why? Because if there's no word there, there's no faith there.
That's right.
I can confess I have it all day long, but if there's no word there, I can't. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if I keep him over in the arena of faith and I fight the good fight of faith, I'll whoop him every time. Why? Because Jesus already won the victory. And my confidence and trust in him and in what he has done and God and his word will cause me to triumph every time.
Right.
But now if he gets at me out of faith and gets me over there, he's going to whoop me up one side and down the other. He's
right
going to steal, kill, and destroy in my life. That's everybody. But he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. One of the things that he tells people is, you're the only one.
Yeah.
Right. Y'all just saw what this church went through, right?
Yep.
Some of y'all might know what I'm talking about. Some of you might not. Danny's no longer here and he won't be back. Mac, nobody can find him and talk to him to figure out what the problem is. I've heard a couple of different scenarios, but not anything from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Right.
So you can't even fix a problem if you don't know what the problem is, if nobody will even talk to you. That's number two been took out. Then you got little Matthew up here that sits on the front that he's been at decoration for 5 weeks. Every time I talk to him. No, you ain't. Then you got Sandy. Y'all heard her testify or tell the story about how last Sunday the devil had been telling her all week long, stop teaching them kids that don't even live, them teenagers that don't even listen to you, and leave that church and go somewhere else. Yeah, some of y'all might have heard what I said. Some of you might not. Well, I'm the pastor's wife. Well, for a couple of weeks now, I've been hearing this. Stop doing that. Go to another church. Go to a big church where nobody knows your name. Nobody knows you. You get to go in, enjoy the service, and go back out. Go home. You don't got all this stuff that you got to take care of. You don't got to take care of the building. You don't got to make sure the people's okay. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, that's a lot of reasons why people don't want in ministry. Please don't make us go there. It's called responsibility.
That's right.
I hear people, well, I'm too busy. Well, I can't. Listen, anything that God asks you to do, he gives you grace for. Or that he tells you to do. You know, it's kind of like I hear people say, well, I'm too busy. I'm this, that, and other. Your pastor is a very busy man. Now, some of his business he creates for himself, and that's all right. That's his thing. But anyway, he is a father, he's a husband, he's a grandfather, he's a son-in-law, he's a brother, he's a pastor, full-time pastor of a church. He doesn't have a co-pastor that preaches on Wednesday or anything. He takes care of all that himself. He's the owner of his own business. How many knows that's not one that you clock in and you clock out at certain hours?
That's right.
That's his business 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
Now, he doesn't run it that way or allow it to run him that way. And some of y'all, I'm talking to them on the internet, you know. Some of y'all, you know, you work 40 hours a week or 50 or 60, you know, and you can't do anything for God. But let me help you with something. This is not the life that we're going to be living right here. This life right here, one day is going to end, and we will give an account to God for the things that
That's
we
right.
did of the kingdom.
That's right. That's right.
Not how many hours we worked a week.
That's right.
Not how many paychecks we made.
Amen.
Now, everybody's supposed to have a job. I have a job. I don't get paid for what I do necessarily, but I have work to do. Everybody's supposed to have work to do. Little kids, from the time they get up to where they can pick up their own toys, need to be picking up their own toys. It's called responsibility.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, goodness. We're supposed to have ministry meet today.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
We may be having some of it. I don't know. And I have learned something. There's times that I don't feel like coming to church. I don't care what you think about that or whatever. We all, most time, if you've been going to church very long at all, there's times in just in my flesh, I don't feel good or like my foot's been bothering me, you know. I had given no reason, you know, not to come to church, you know, and April swelled up all that Wednesday and come to church. Sometimes I don't feel like in my flesh or whatever coming to church. We all go through those times. We all go through hard times. That's just like I remember when Johnny's daddy passed away, you know. I didn't know for sure whether he would be here that Sunday. And if he wasn't, that was okay. He was here that Sunday morning, you know. I mean, we buried my grandfather on Friday or Saturday, and I'm doing Sunday school that Sunday. You know, I understand. We all go through things. But the devil likes to tell every one of us, mine is worse. You poor, pitiful thing, you. See, you cannot be a victor and a victim at the same time. You're going to have to figure out which one you want to be.
Hallelujah.
Now, God's already made us the victor, given us the victory, but that don't mean that we walk in it.
That's
a choice.
Thank you, Jesus.
That every one of us has. And I have found out that a lot of times when I don't feel like coming to church, honey, or I'm going through something or whatever that seems like hard, or I feel like I need a spiritual vacation, that's one you better never take right there. It's a spiritual vacation. You better know that's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Or I feel like I need a spiritual vacation. That is the times that ministry helps to keep me faithful.
Right.
I ain't saying nothing.
Right.
Now, if faithfulness is not in me, that's not going to keep me.
Nope. Right.
Why? Because ministry's not going to keep you. You are whatever you are.
Right.
You're either faithful or you're unfaithful.
Right.
But during those times, the faith, and listen, that's a fruit of the Spirit, is faithfulness, right?
Yes.
It's in us if we've been born again. By the Holy Ghost, just like the love of God is in there. But during those times, sometimes I come because I have to keep the nursery where it would be easier for me to stay at home because that faithfulness is in there. And I yield to that. And vice versa. I'm talking about all of us. We have times that we go through things or whatever.
Right.
But the devil likes to tell lies that you're the only one. Or you're the only one that works this many hours. Or you're the only one that feels this bad. Or you're the only one that this ever happened to.
Right.
You know. Things like that. No, right then, he's a liar. We went over the scripture, and I'm not going to go read it again, how that no temptation has taken us but that which is common to man. And with the temptation, God will make a way of escape.
Right.
Listen, there's no adultery that I can't resist.
That's right.
There's no amount of greed and covetousness that I can't resist.
Right.
There's no amount of unfaithfulness that I cannot resist.
Right.
There's nothing, if it comes in your arena, you have the ability to resist it or to overcome it. Now, do we always? No, maybe not always. But the thing about God is he's gracious and he's merciful. If I will repent and I will turn, he will help me and we'll go on again.
Right.
Let's look at, let's see here. Where I'm going to go. Eat up all my time here. In the church. They're really not discussed, or sometimes they're discussed the wrong way. Let's look at Isaiah 53. Now, this is talking about Jesus. And just for time's sake, we're only going to read a part of this. You can go back and read the whole chapter. I think I want to start in verse 4. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, let's look at, put up 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. Please, Zach. It says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. He did not suffer. He suffered sickness and disease, so we don't have to, right? He goes on and says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Go ahead. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that's what Isaiah was talking about, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed.
Yes.
Now there it says in Isaiah, hath borne our sicknesses, our carried our griefs and all that. And then here in the New Testament it says, for by his stripes ye were healed. That's a past tense word. It's already been done.
Yes.
But a lot of times when we think about Jesus and talked about, we think about just salvation being born again. How many knows that's not the only thing on that tree and those stripes and everything that he went through that he died for and rose again to give to us? Healing. So the temptation there is going to be when you're attacked with sickness and disease is to yield to it. Me and Sandy, a lot of times, we come from the same family, as far as physically. She's my aunt. She's my mama's sister. Y'all know the story. May's our grandmother. You know, Scotty says we all. One of mine that looks that Myrica or whatever that would be from her papa. But anyway, a lot of times me and Sandy go through a lot of the same symptoms physically. She's been having a problem with her feet for a couple of years now, she says. That's the same reason why I haven't been able to walk, is because of the same thing attacking my feet. Some of y'all might remember, some of you might not have been here or whatever, but that vertigo, I had to deal with that crap for over a year. And here lately, the last few days, I've had a little bit of that again, that dizziness to the point to where, I mean, I fell into the wall, went to the doctor. They couldn't figure out why, you know, you're going through this or anything. Nothing happened to me. I didn't hit my head or anything like that. Sandy had the same vertigo and still does from time to time that she has to deal with. So, why am I telling you that? Well, I can say, well, you know, and this hurts and that hurts because your granny hurts a lot and she has a lot of the same problems and blah, 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 blah. I know y'all don't ever get tempted to say or think none of that, do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have been redeemed.
Amen.
From all of that. I now have a new family bloodline. Now, do I still have the old one? Sure I do. But when I get in Jesus, all of that is null and void now.
Right.
But the temptation and the lie that the devil would try to tell me is it's just your family history. You go to the doctor. What's one of the first things they want you to fill out on the questionnaire? Has your mama ever had diabetes? Your grandfather ever had a heart attack in your family? Is cancer running your... Why? Because they want to see, they call it, what is it, predisposition for certain diseases and things like that. So we have the world and doctors and all that, and thank God I'm not against doctors. Y'all know how it goes when you go to a doctor. Why? Because they can see kind of some of your genes by looking at your mother's genes and your grandfather's genes and all that way out back. You have called family history. Well, the temptation that and the lies that the devil would try to tell, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Y'all looking at me funny.
Liar.
I know I ain't the only one hears that stuff. There's nothing you can do about it. You just have to yield to it. You just or this. You're just getting older. This is the way it happens. You know, when you get older, you know, when your grandmother got older, this is how she went, you know. When your daddy got older, this is how they went, blah, 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 blah. That is a temptation. We don't have to yield to that.
It's a lie.
But the temptation and the lie is there. But if we yield to it, how many knows? We're just going to fall right in and he's just going to do whatever he wants to. But the Bible says, by Jesus Christ, I've already been healed.
Yes.
So I have to get that word. the point to where anytime a thought, I mean, instantly my mind is so renewed to a thought, I have a pain or a thought coming to my mind, instantly is rejected by the Word of God.
Yes.
And faith within my heart to where it comes out of my mouth, I don't even have to think about it.
Right.
But that's going to take work.
Yep.
And that's what we usually don't want to do.
That's right.
I always say nothing.
Good stuff.
The Bible talks about how that we have the mind of Christ. Well, guess what? We have to take the Word and we have to renew that mind. Because He didn't think sickness and disease.
That's right.
Sickness and disease is of the devil.
Yes.
I've heard Christians say, you know, when I had that car wreck, you know, because God's trying to teach me something. No. Gosh. You don't know Him at all. He's not a good child abuser.
That's right.
He's a good father.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe I had the car wreck because I ran the red light because I'm going too fast and I can't get stopped. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. And sometimes accidents happen. Not my fault. Somebody else's fault. We live in a fallen world with a real devil, you know. So it's not God having to do everything. So we have to resist sickness and disease. With any kind of sickness and disease. How do I know that? Because the Word tells me that. Jesus would not take stripes upon His body to do away with sickness and disease if God's going to put it on me.
That's right.
He would be totally contradicting the Father.
That's right.
And God is not a child abuser. In His Word, He tells me the things that He uses to teach me. Right? The Holy Spirit, number one, is my teacher.
Amen.
According to the Scriptures. Right? Y'all heard Johnny the other night, didn't you? He's the standby. He's the comforter. Right? He's the one that leads us and guides us into all truth. The Bible talks about He is the Holy Spirit of truth.
Amen.
He's the one that God has sent to teach me. God uses His Word to teach me. He uses His Spirit to teach me. He's given the fivefold ministry to teach me, right? Nowhere in Scripture do I find that God put sickness and disease on anybody to teach them something. That's a lie of the devil. So I have to resist that. And you've even got churches that teach that junk.
Yep.
But according to Scripture, I must resist that.
Right, right.
There's going to be another temptation anytime sickness and disease and problems and ailments, they come. You're tempted a lot of times to tell about it.
Yeah.
And how bad you feel.
Yep.
Nobody feels as bad as I do. Nobody knows how bad I hurt. Well, you know what? You don't know how bad or good everybody else feels or hurts either. But Jesus knows how bad all of us hurt.
Right.
And He paid the price for us, for all of us not to hurt.
Yes.
Right? But there's a temptation there. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
Good right. stuff.
There's a temptation there for people to feel sorry for me. Listen, you can't have people feeling sorry for you and be in victory at the same time. No. I don't need your pity. I need your faith. You don't need my pity to bring you a cool rag to put on your feverish brow.
Come on.
What you need is for me to be in faith to lay hands on you or to speak the word to you to where you can get rid of that junk.
Yes.
And sometimes by a gift, somebody might be able to do it for you, but most of the time, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to hear the word. Faith's going to have to rise up in your heart, and you're going to have to resist it.
Right.
Listen, and resisting don't just happen one time. I mean, you might have to resist and 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 resist. We read the Scriptures where the devil come to Jesus, you know, and tempted Him and tested Him. But it says then He left Him for a more opportune time.
That's right.
What's that mean? He comes back.
Yep.
And you better be doing the things that you're supposed to have been doing, not laying on the couch eating donuts, watching TV. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
That's right.
That would be my most favorite thing to do.
Yep.
Well, there's another temptation. While you're in all this stuff, while you're going through all this vertigo or your fear, that plantar fasciitis junk or whatever it is that you're going through, all of your ailments and your problems, there's going to be other temptations.
Yep. Yep.
I just had a loud, heated discussion with Scotty last night and I've not talked to him since then. Yeah, I said nothing. He does, but I have to yield. I got mad right there at the last of that discussion. Why? Reckon why that is. God, you can hear a pin drop in here.
Yep.
It's okay. I went at your house. Reckon why that would be.
Why?
And it was over the smallest little, to me, thing that should have not even have been. Y'all ever got in one of them and think, how did we get here?
Yes.
I don't even remember how this got started or how we got here. Those are usually the ones that was really created by the devil.
Yeah. Right.
Because there wasn't nothing there to start with, but we allowed him to make it something. Reckon why those come?
To divert you?
You better believe it. I have a hard time walking in strong faith, resisting the devil when I'm screaming, hollering, cussing.
Right.
So if I want my feet to get well, I can't be doing that.
That's right.
Y'all ain't saying nothing. If I want my bank account to grow, I can't walk in strife with everybody. How come? Because we only have one heart, and the Bible says guard it.
That's right.
Because out of it flows the issues of life. You can't have strife and division and the love of God flowing all at the same time. It just doesn't happen.
Nope.
Now, I can yield to one or the other, but I can't have both coming out at the same time. It's just not going to happen. So what do I have to do? I'm going to have to repent of that, get rid of that, get back on the faith that I was on and all that, and walk in the love of God. Why? Because the Bible says in Galatians, what is it, 5:6, somewhere around in there, it said, talks about how that love, faith operates or is energized by love. My yes. God is love.
That's right.
And if I get out of love, I'm out in the wrong spirit. There's only two. Right?
That's right.
The spirit of our Father God and the spirit of the devil. That's all. So if I'm needing these things, you better believe he's going to come along. Why? To keep me from receiving it.
That's right.
And if he's the sickness and the disease, then if I'm yielding to him with the fussing and the cussing and all this other stuff, or whatever that the case may be, it doesn't have to be that. You're lying like the devil all the time. I mean, some people, they lie when the truth would fit better.
Right.
I mean, really, we would believe you more if you just told the truth and the lie you're making up. Why do you think he does that? There's method to his madness.
That's right.
His thing is to come to kill, steal, and destroy. Sickness and disease steals, kills, and destroys. It'll steal my money running to the doctor trying to be healed. It steals my peace when I'm up all night long hurting. Right? But he don't want that to go. He don't want me to be able to stand up in faith and resist all of that. So that's why he tries to get me to yield over here through the back door. Now let's go to, let's see. What was that? That was 1 Peter 2. Let's look at, since we're here, Psalm 103. Most of us could probably quote this, but we want to look at it. Verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? So this verse tells me there's not one he won't forgive me for.
That's right.
If I can repent of it, I'm forgiven of it.
Amen.
It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. There's not a one that you've not been healed of. The Bible talks about in the New Testament, if it has a name, Jesus is above that. It has to bow to him.
Yes.
It goes on here and it says, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, killing, stealing, and destroying. I'm redeemed from that. It says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Yes.
Now let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Since we're here in Old Testament. Now listen, that was even under the Old Covenant. Under the New Covenant, all this stuff is in Jesus. It's not by how good or bad I am. Did y'all hear what I said?
Amen.
But now, I have to stay in him. Why? All the blessings on him. He's the one that never sinned. He's the one that took sin so I could be free.
Yes,
I could
right.
be made righteous.
Yes.
I didn't get righteous by what I did. I got righteous by what I believed.
Amen.
Right? That's what the scripture says. I believe unto righteousness, the Bible talks about. Well, here in Deuteronomy, it's going to talk about if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, all these blessings will come on you. Well, when I get born again, the blessings are on Jesus.
Right.
But they stay on the life of Christ, not when I'm yielded to the devil. There's a reason why he wants me to do that. Why? Because you're plugging up the heavens. Look here at verse 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. We get over into him. We get born again. He says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. You could say bank accounts.
Yep.
And in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has swore unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. Well, all we got to do is get born again and walk and live in the love of God, right? It's not a bunch of commandments we have to keep. He goes on and he talks about, he says, and all the people of the earth shall see thou art called by thy name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swear, unto thy fathers to give thee. Sounds like a bunch of blessing, don't it?
Yes.
Yep.
The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them.
Amen.
Now, the devil does the things that he does. He comes to every one of us. He comes to tempt us. In the Old Testament, y'all remember the story of Balaam and Balak? That was a prophet. I forget now. What was it? Balak the one that was the king, or was it Balak? It was Balak, wasn't it? Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, he was the king, and he wanted God's people cursed. He didn't want them blessed. He wanted them cursed and all this stuff. Well, then you got the prophet Balaam. He calls him over there, you know, I'm going to give you all these goods and all this. I'm paraphrasing. Give you all this stuff, you know, if you'll curse them. Well, he tries to, but he can't. He says, I cannot curse what God has blessed. And he tries several times, and he cannot.
Right.
But then the thing about it is, he tells him. He said, but I'll tell you how to get them to do it.
Right.
See, they had a covenant with God, and God had blessed them. You have a covenant with God, and he has blessed you through Jesus.
Yes.
There's no amount of blessing that you don't have. There's not a need that you had, that you could ever have, that God's not already taking care of in Jesus. But here comes the devil, and he knows. He says, I tell you how to get them to curse themselves, though. Their God's done told them, don't intermingle, marry him. Now, he's not talking about because they're black and they're white, or they're brown and they're red and they're yellow. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about because of their false gods they worship.
Amen. Right.
And it's the same thing today. I mean, that's a bunch of junk. But they worship idols. They worship false gods. I mean, they would have a whole bunch of them. You know, it wasn't just one or two. A whole bunch. They had a god for everything, you know. And he told them, he said, don't intermingle. That's what he tell us today. Don't marry those that don't have a covenant with me. Christian don't marry non-Christians. Why? Because they don't serve the Lord God. And you do. And a lot of times it'll be really much easier for you to go to the flea market on Sunday morning with them than it is to get them to go to church with you. A lot of times. So God says, don't do that. So he tells them, I'll tell you how to get them to curse themselves. Their God has made a covenant with them. He's told them don't intermingle marrying because of their false gods, and then they have kids and all this other stuff and go away from God. Well, that's the very thing that he did. And they got in trouble. What does he tell us today? See, a lot of times we don't make the connections. If I worry, I'm going to lose my peace that Jesus paid the price for. We read the verse, right? The chastisement of my peace is upon him. I have the peace of God on the inside of me. But I can give up that peace, or I can allow that peace to be stolen by yielding to the devil, by worrying all night. And it seems like, you know, I mean, and you'll hear this, don't you care? No, not really. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. If I really, see, I've seen parents before. They do everything for their kids. 35 years old, and I still bring you a pack of cigarettes and a loaf of bread and sandwich meat to make sure you got something to puff on and eat. While you laid up in the bed till 1 o'clock. We ain't saying.
Good stuff.
I love them. I can't help it. It hurts me if they do them without. Well, maybe if they're done without and go hungry enough, they get out of bed before 1 o'clock and get off the dope and go get a job. But no, that hurts me too bad. Who are you saying you love? I thought you said you love them. I do. I love them too much. It hurts me. Hurts who? So if I really love you, Johnny, if Scotty really loves me, he won't bring me them donuts. If he really loves me. If the doctor's telling me that stuff is killing me, if you really love me, you won't bring it to me. No. If you really love me, you'll tell me no. God really loves me, and he tells me no, then he tells me yes. More, not about a lot of stuff that he tells me yes. That in my flesh I want. Well, then you got the devil, here he comes. Y'all remember the story in, I think it was Genesis 3 over there, where they sin, and God pronounced the curse. He told the devil, he said, upon this, you're going to crawl on your belly, and you're going to eat dust. What are you made of?
Dust.
Just something to think on. Every time I yield to the flesh, I feed the devil. That's why he wants it. I can't resist him and be yielding to him at the same time. Now, I'm not talking about we're perfect. That's not what I'm talking about at all. There's none of us walking full 100% Christ perfection all the time. Well, now, we all should be striving toward that. We can. We're supposed to get there to the fullness, right? But that's why he told them, you know, to intermingle, get them to marry each other. Why? So you shut up the heavens. Yeah. The reason why he wants us to sin is not so we'll go to hell. We're going to heaven. We've been born again. But do you realize you can live heaven on earth and you can live hell on earth?
That's right.
And still go to heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what he wants. He couldn't stop me from being born again, but he don't want nothing but killing, stealing, and destroying in my life and make me think it's God.
Yep.
And it's not so. Let's look at, before we run out of time here, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So there is no doubt about it whatsoever. Sickness and disease, I don't care. Listen, I don't care if you smoked all your life and got emphysema. That's still of the devil. He'll come and tell you, well, you did this to yourself, so now you should try to blame God to get it off or get healed. He's a liar.
That's right.
God wants that healed too.
Yes.
But that's the stuff he tells people.
Yep.
What? He helps with both. Let's look here at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know, now he's talking to people, they're supposed to be knowing this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Some people take this out of context and they say, please talk about spiritually rich. Go read the whole chapter. No, he's not. He's talking about money. He's talking about giving. He's not talking about spiritual things. We don't have time to read the whole chapter. I got like 4 minutes left. Y'all can go back and read the whole thing to get the context. But notice what he says there. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, yet for my sake, he became poor.
That's right.
That I might be made rich. So you know what this verse tells me? Poverty is of the devil.
That's right.
So I need to be resistant.
Yep.
Anything that's of the devil, I need to resist, right?
Right.
Now, did I say if you're broke, you're not a Christian?
No.
Did I say if you don't have no money, you don't love the Lord? No. There's plenty of God-loving people that are broke. So broke it's hard for them to pay attention. And that is not the will of God. But the devil tries to trick them into thinking the more broke I am, the more humble I am, because I can't be humble if I got stuff. That's a lie. Brokenness don't make me humble. That's something that I choose. I can have, listen, there's a bunch of proud, poor people.
Yeah.
Proud of they got nothing. And every tiny little thing, buddy, they have scraped and scrammed for. And they are a self-made man. I mean, that's all that's wrong. I have everything that I could absolutely ever need in abundance to the full till it overflows in Jesus. And can walk fully, humbly before my God with every bit of it. But he says there that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now I'm going to read it in the Amplified. He says, for you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. That's to the full till it overflows, more than enough. Now, in our last couple minutes here, let's look at 1 Timothy 6. For time's sake, verse 17. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Now, hang on for just a second. Who's this Bible written to? Who's Timothy talking to? He's not talking to lost people.
That's right.
He's talking to the Christians. He says, charge them, or you can say command them that are rich in this world, they're living in this world right now, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. So, I'm rich, but God don't want me to be high-minded. And he doesn't want me to be trusting in my money. Why? It can be here today, gone tomorrow, but God is forever.
Amen.
So I trust him, but use money. He says, trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us what?
Richly.
Read the whole thing. Us richly all things to what?
Enjoy.
I hear Christians say, well, God said he'd supply all your need, not your wants. What did that say? Read that again. Who giveth us richly all things, all means all, looked up the word, it means A-L-L, all, things to enjoy.
Amen.
God wants me to enjoy everything in my life. And he's given me everything I need to enjoy this life. But the devil's coming to kill and steal and destroy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Anytime God's telling me to give, don't hang on to that, give it, right?
Amen.
Willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. But notice that what he said, laying up in store. The things I do here now are laying up for when I get up there. So why does the devil try to get me to spend all my time on natural junk? Till my job works me into the ground. Or there are some people, they make themselves busy. They're just busy doing nothing all the time.
Oh.
Nothing that means nothing, but they keep themselves so busy. The devil just runs them ragged with their busyness. That when we get there, it is going to mean absolutely nothing. So then they didn't have time to do the things of the kingdom that God wanted them to do. So, and there's more scriptures than that. That's just the ones that we have time for. So sickness and disease, I need to be resisting and overcoming. I didn't say that if you got attacked with sickness and disease, you didn't have no faith. Sometimes it's because you got faith. I didn't say if you don't have no money, you didn't love God. But you better be standing against that. Listen, Scotty was one that 17 kids born into his family. And he always, they never had anything. I mean, you got that many kids and just one man and one woman working, I mean, that doesn't serve God too. You know, they had absolutely nothing. He would get his brother's Christmas presents. They got BB guns the year before for Christmas. The two younger boys, just younger than them, would get those for the next Christmas.
Right.
That are done wore out,
right.
You know. Their cars they played in the dirt with sticks, you know, or some stuff like that. So ingrained in him, because he's raised this way, is so ingrained in him, he is nobody and he will never, ever have nothing. So then we get born again and we have bad credit. God started dealing with us to get that cleared up, get that straightened out. And then we got good credit. So then he takes him off on this other trip. You're never going to have anything unless you got good credit. Y'all didn't hear what I said.
Yes.
Devil.
Lie.
Devil.
Lie.
You better hear me now. Devil. Debt is a demon. You better believe it. The Bible says that the borrower is subject to the lender. You're going to work so many hours and get so much money, and you better do whatever you got to do. Prostitute, I don't care what you got to do. You better get me my money. You can't go to church because you got to be at work. So then he took him down that road for a little while until God helped him and got his thinking changed out of that. I can't have something without going into debt. I mean, this was big for us, years of this. To where that if you trust God and you obey God and you tithe and you give and you're a good steward of what he gives you. Listen, money is just not for you just to live a luxurious life. God has kingdom stuff we need to be doing with our money too. Not just hoard it on ourselves. Us things to enjoy, but then also kingdom stuff. Other people to help. All kinds of things. So then he started dealing with him about that, you know, that you can have something without credit. Too many Christians in too much debt right now, and I'm not saying if you're in debt, you don't love God. Don't let the devil lie to you. But how many is, God wants us to know the truth. Why? Because the truth is what makes us free. The truth we will yield to and embrace even if it hurts. I've got to stop because we're actually nearly five over. Does anybody have anything